Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Well, there are some new stories to be dealt with this week, not the least of which is some backstage controversy in the WWE on two fronts, as well as KO, Kevin Owens, reportedly taking an extended vacation from the WWE for a little while, and some other news items. So let's get right to it. And let's start with the news that many fans are really up in arms about, and we'll dissect it a little bit. And that is that over the last couple of days, a woman by the name of Kenise Mobley, who's a stand-up comedian, was hired by the WWE as a writer, I guess, and she says she has had zero wrestling knowledge, doesn't watch wrestling. Doesn't even know who the champion is. She said, I think his name is Bobby Ashley. And I know he's a big guy, and he has, I think they have like a hurt business or something that they all run around in suits and stuff. That's all she knows. That's all she knows. Now, she was called out by the fans, and then in turn, a lot of the wrestling journalists. And I have to tell you that, you know, some of these people, I just don't know how they amass any fan base at all, because they just spout nonsense. A lot of these journalists said, this is not her fault. Don't pick on her for tweeting that she knows nothing about wrestling. This is the WWE's fault for hiring somebody who doesn't know anything about wrestling. It's both people's fault. But it's her fault more, and I'll explain why. The WWE didn't hire her to write angles and booking. Hire her to say, okay, you come up with a good angle for Bobby Lashley and who he's going to fight next. They didn't hire her for that. They hired her to come up with comedic bits because she's a comedian. So the WWE says you don't really need any wrestling knowledge to come up with comedic bits. You don't need to be a fan. You don't need to be able to tell us every champion that ever held a belt in the WWE. You don't need to be able to recite verbatim every line Stone Cold Steve Austin ever said. That's a little bit different. Now, why it's her fault is this. First, she took to Twitter to broadly proclaim she knows nothing about professional wrestling. That's a mistake. You don't say that. You just do your job. You don't bring about controversy, and that's exactly what you did. You brought about a ton of controversy. You don't bring about all this controversy by openly proclaiming, I don't know anything about professional wrestling, and they hired me and said, I didn't need to know anything about professional wrestling. That makes them look bad. Now, whether or not you want to say, oh, well, WWE looks bad enough anyway, they shouldn't hire somebody who doesn't know about wrestling. Well, what do you want to do? You want to hire somebody who is a former wrestler who knows all sorts of things about pro wrestling, but they're not funny. And you're hiring them to write comedic bits, and the comedic bits are not funny because they're being written by Vince McMahon, or they're being written by Bruce Pritchard, or they're being written by somebody whose really sense of humor is dumb. So I understand why they might have went outside and said, let's hire a stand-up comedian who writes their own material. This is why it's her fault, double fold. First one I already told you. She never should have took to Twitter to say anything about not watching pro wrestling or knowing anything about it, let alone that they didn't require it. Number two, even if you're hired to just write the comedic bits, then you need to binge watch. You need to go back and know every character, what their personality is, the ones that you're going to write for especially. You need to know it all. Now, I've never watched one single episode of Stranger Things in my life. And if for some ungodly reason the producers of that show said, we want you as a writer, we've listened to some of your ideas on pro wrestling and we sort of like the way you think, so we want you to write for our characters, do you honestly think that I'm going to take to Twitter and say, I've never even watched this show and they hired me? And do you honestly think I'm not going to sit down and watch every single episode from start to finish and know every character inside out? That's my job. That's my new job then. Of course I'm going to do that. So while I may know nothing going in, I'm sure as hell going to know it all by the time I put pen to paper. Because that's my job. So for this person to literally say, I know nothing about pro wrestling, and I don't even know who the champion is, I'm just going to write funny stuff, and they can, okay, well, that's dumb. That's dumb. And it's not really the WWE's fault. When the WWE wants music, they don't necessarily say, well, are you a huge wrestling fan? Do you know every single wrestler? Do you know who's holding the belts currently? Do you know who's feuding with who? They just give the musician the character and say, this is what this character is, and that musician comes up with something that they feel fits that character. But I can promise you that that musician or that composer most certainly takes a good hard look at that character and says, what is it that we have to portray about this character? Should it be a fast-paced, exciting type music? Should it be slow, eerie music? Should it be upbeat and happy? Should it be dark and gloomy? You know, that's what you do. This woman did none of this. She just, I don't know who anybody is, and they told me I didn't need any knowledge of professional wrestling to have this job, so I'm just going to sit around and write a bunch of jokes, I guess. I mean, is the WWE foolish for doing that? Well, you could argue yes, but you could also argue no. If they think she's a really good comedian and they liked her style of writing or her sense of humor and they want to incorporate some of that into their show, she doesn't necessarily need to know anything about wrestling. But it is her job as a writer, a comedic writer, to say, well, let me look at the characters. There's not much comedic I can write for, you know, certain people, and they probably don't want me to, because they're dead serious characters. But let me take a look at all these characters they might want me to write for. Maybe it'll spur my imagination. Maybe I'll watch a guy like Sami Zayn. Maybe I'll watch a guy, you know, that I think could use a comedic twist of The New Day or something and say, oh, I have a good idea for them. I see what they're about now. Maybe we can do this little angle or that little angle. That'd be funny. That's what her job is. Not to go on Twitter and say, I know nothing about pro wrestling, and they told me I didn't need to. Well, you better learn quick. Because I'm sure they didn't hire you to write a bunch of standard jokes and say, give it to whoever you want. I don't even know who works here. That's not what they hired you for. They hired you to study certain characters. They want to use their personality, hopefully to inspire you to write some funny things that fits within the guidelines of their personality or their character. I shouldn't have to explain this. I don't know, Mike. I mean, at first it looks bad for the WWE when fans say, oh, see that? They're hiring writers that don't even know what they're doing. They don't even know nothing about pro wrestling. But that's not the prerequisite for what they hired this woman for. However, she should know the character she's about to write for.
But she really should know them. And look, we made fun of some of the things that Lucha Underground did, and we looked at it and we said, well, this went over the top, that went over the top, but generally speaking, everything they did was sort of well written, even, you know, maybe they had help. You know, Mark Burnett, who produced the show, is an excellent writer as well. So, and he didn't really, I don't think he knows a lot about pro wrestling. Now, he knows how to write TV shows, but he basically had help in writing some pro wrestling segments because you had a bunch, you know, Chavo Guerrero was there and a few other people were there and that knew what they were doing. So he really didn't, you know, he might have liked wrestling, he might have understood it, but he didn't know how to write for it. That's what this girl, that's the mistake. The WWE is, if you're going to bring in a comedian to write for, you write the comedic bits. Yeah, there's certain comedic bits that almost write themselves. The whole thing with they got over the edge, over the top with the, you know, with the guys chasing after the 24/7 belt, right?
Right.
You know, that kind of sort of writes itself, right? So you don't need
right. To... Well, see, if you're going to do that, I she doesn't need to know who Bobby Lashley is. She's not going to be writing anything funny for Bobby Lashley. But what needs to happen is she needs to say, okay, well, you've hired me to write funny things for people. I need to know who these people are, or more importantly, who their characters are. I need to get a sense of who they are so I can write the kind of comedy that would make sense for their character. In other words, a Sami Zayn guy, if he's going to be funny, he's going to be funny in that paranoid schizophrenic way of everyone is against me. The whole Federation is out to get me, so you can work with that bit. Now, if you're going to do it with New Day, it's got to be different. It's got to be more of a sarcasm and a gimmicky type thing and the power of positivity. We get that. So you need to know those characters inside and out. You need to know so you don't write something funny that is legitimately funny, but it doesn't make sense for that character. Okay? That's important. So she does need to know those people. So her first job, if I were her, my first thing I would say is give me the people that you think you might want comedic stuff written for, and let me study some tapes on them. Let me look at them, what they've done so far, who they're supposed to be, what their gimmick is supposed to be, how they act, how they talk, how they dress, how they walk, everything about them. So I get a sense of what would make sense in their character. That's the important thing. Now, if she's going to take this so lightly, she says, I don't need to know nothing. I'm just going to write jokes that's generally funny, and they can apply it to whoever they want. That's not what you're hired for. It's just not what you're hired for. Anyway, WWE's taking some heat because now everyone's saying they're hiring writers that knows nothing about wrestling. Not exactly true. And she's taking heat for taking a job knowing nothing about wrestling, when in reality, both are wrong. Of course she's going to take the job. She's a comedian and a comedy writer, and she's been asked to write comedy for a major TV show. Of course she's going to take the job. But you better take it seriously. And you better start doing your research. And you've proven you're not the brightest bulb in the pack when you took to Twitter saying, I got a job that I know nothing about. Well, that's not very flattering to you or the company you work for, and that's just something you don't say. You honestly think that I'd take to Twitter and say, I never even watched Stranger Things. That's not my style. I don't like that stupid show. No. I'd say I'm looking forward to this. This is something I'm, you know, brushing up on, and I'm binge-watching, and I'm enjoying it so much. And, of course, this is what you do. So there you go. Another publicity disaster for the WWE because people can't shut their mouth, and they're not smart enough to realize that you don't take to Twitter with every single detail. Now, the second big thing that has happened is that Keith Lee posted a pretty cryptic tweet saying, I was going to tell you everything that's going on, but apparently I'm going to have to wait a little bit longer. And some very defining moments are coming up very soon. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. What I do know is this. The WWE initially trademarked Keith Lee's name. I think Keith Lee is trying to get that trademark back. From what I hear, he filed to get it, or the WWE filed to reclaim it and were blocked from doing it. saying that another company is attempting to file that name or another person is attempting to file that name for professional wrestling purposes. So I think there may be a battle of who owns the name. Because I think Keith Lee doesn't want to be in a situation where if he gets booted from the WWE, he can't go out to independent federations and call himself Keith Lee anymore because he was one of the rare people who they kept his name. Usually the WWE, when someone comes in, they'll change your name. And they do that for a very specific reason, so they own it. They completely own it. Seth Rollins didn't wrestle under Seth Rollins. Karrion Kross didn't wrestle under Karrion Kross. And Keith Lee did, though. Keith Lee wrestled under Keith Lee. So now we have this little bit, I think, of a struggle to, see who's going to have that name in the foreseeable future. And this could be what's keeping Keith Lee off of TV. Because if Keith Lee's refusing to sign a thing saying they can take that name, maybe the WWE saying, until you do, you're going to sit. I don't know what. I'm just speculating. I don't know. But I do know that they're trying to file for that name. I believe the WWE tried to file and they were blocked, saying someone else has already filed for that name, meaning Keith Lee may have control of his own name. And the WWE is trying to get it back from him before they introduce him. Now, what they could do, the WWE could certainly do, is change his name. They could do that if they want to. They could say, we're reintroducing Keith Lee and we're calling him the something or other. And that's what he's going to be called from now on. And Keith Lee would have nothing he could do about that. He's under contract. But I think Keith Lee would be okay with that. I think he wants that name just in case. Because he built up a really big reputation under that name. You know, we often talk about draw power. Well, it's very, very difficult on the indie scene to have any draw power. There's not that many names on the indie scene that has draw power unless they were former WWE or WCW or whatever athletes. You know, if you're bringing in a guy, yeah. You know, you bring in a Billy Gunn or something, yeah, of course, he's going to, or a Bob Holly, yeah, they'll draw to a certain extent. But just being an indie guy, there's not that many people who really draw. Keith Lee was one of them. Keith Lee's name on a poster meant something. So I think he wants to keep that, Todd, and perhaps this is why we're seeing Keith Lee not actively a part of the WWE's TV shows right now.
I think you're absolutely right there. Like you said, as far as we know, Keith Lee used that name in the indie shows. We went to see him under that name as long as we remember. It's just weird right there for trying to take a trademark away from a guy who had that name for that.
I mean, they want to control it. And I understand. From a business point of view, I understand. Because let's say Keith Lee doesn't re-sign with the WWE, but the WWE make him very famous. Let's say they give him a minor championship for a while, and then he doesn't sign. He's now real famous under Keith Lee, and he can go sign autographs and do appearances as Keith Lee, and WWE helped build that brand. They helped build that name to a larger extent, like Braun Strowman, for instance. So they say, well, if we're going to help build that brand, we're going to make you this big, huge celebrity. We want to own the name so that if you go out on your own, you don't get to use our hard-earned or a hard-worked, build to further your financial gains. I get it. But then the WWE should have been smart enough to say, we're not signing you as Keith Lee. We're going to call you something else. They didn't. And now they're stuck with this. So, Mike, I don't know. I mean, I understand both sides of the coin. I just think that, this may end up hurting Keith Lee because I don't think they're going to reintroduce him until they're solid that they own the name.
Well, I disagree with you on them not reintroducing him because him not appearing on the show because, if I'm not mistaken, on this week's on this week's NXT when as Cameron Grimes was arriving to the arena, he was one of the guys that he handed that Grimes handed some money out to, right?
Right.
Was Keith Lee.
Yeah.
So he was on TV. He was on WWE TV. Right. So yeah, and look, I'm looking at Big E. You know, he's famous under Big E, but his name is Ettore Yuen. You know, now
right.
They again another good example of them changing his name. I mean, they didn't change his name; they just shortened it and put the word Big in front of it, Big E. You know, right. So
yeah, they even dropped the Langston. If you remember, it was Big E Langston for a while, and then they dropped the Langston part of it. WWE normally does not like to do that. They don't like you to come in with your actual name that you've used, because if you do, you can leave with it. Now, if you've already been, if they let Ric Flair and all these people do it, because Dusty Rhodes and all this, because they're immensely famous anyway. There's nothing the WWE could do that's going to help that name. That name is already immensely famous. They only really do it with people that they're creating or that they feel that they've snatched out of the indies or whatever and helped to create. And in a few cases, they don't even do that. You know, then one or two cases, they've let the people use their actual names. But it's very rare. And that's why when Keith Lee debuted as Keith Lee, I was shocked. And I knew it was going to come to this. Now, whether Keith Lee bows to the pressure or not, I don't know. I mean, think about this. I don't think Keith Lee was signed to a huge money deal. I wouldn't imagine. Keith Lee wasn't making a ton of money in the indie scene. He might have been making decent money, but he's not making a ton of money. Now, NXT signs him up, and he's making decent money, I imagine. And then when the WWE says you're coming to the main roster, I would assume that that's a pretty nice contract. Maybe not huge, but at least nice. And that's at stake. That's at stake. And to be perfectly honest, I understand that Keith Lee can't use Keith Lee if he was ever to leave the WWE, unless that's part of the contract, which the WWE will never do. But he could use Mr. Lee. He could use, you know, Keith L.E. He could use a lot of things, as long as it's not the exact name. I think I told the story on here once that Brian Lee, when he was Chains, if everybody remembers the DOA, which was a motorcycle gang that invaded the WWE, and Brian Lee was the leader. And his name was Chains. And I believe, unless I'm mistaken, his name was Chains with a Z. C-H-A-I-N-Z, Chains. I was personally at an autograph signing with several wrestlers when WWE officials came in after he had left WWE and told him right at the table where I was four people away, you better not be signing these autographs, Chains, because we own that name. And he started signing it with an S. And they packed up their little briefcases and they left because there's nothing they can do. They copyrighted Chains with a Z. And copyright Chains with an S. Maybe it was vice versa, but I don't think so. Either way, a little minor adjustment, and they don't own it. So, you know, Keith Lee may say my contract is worth more than this, and, you know, I better just take the money while I can. I think it'd be smart to do it. Just go ahead. Just go ahead, because the indie, if you ever had to go back to the indies, whatever you called yourself, it would catch on instantly that you are who you are. So I really don't think it's that big of a deal. I don't think he built up the brand to the point where fans would say, I don't know who this guy is. It's not like he looks like everybody else. The minute it got around, no matter what he called himself, he'd call himself Mr. X, and noise would get around the indie scene, Mr. X is Keith Lee. In his new name, and everybody would then just go see Mr. X if they like Keith Lee. So I think that maybe he's going to bow to this. I would. I'll be honest with you, I would. Now, there's something else about it. I don't know if that's his real name. It may be. If it's his real name, there may be some issue where he says, Jesus, if I ever wanted to do a movie or I wanted to do something else, can't use my real name? There's a whole ball of wax in here to be dissected legally. It depends on what the WWE copywrote it for, how long they copywrote it for. There's a whole ball of wax. But suffice to say that a guy like John Moxley, like if he did a movie now, he couldn't say Dean Ambrose. Even if he wanted to. He probably doesn't at this point, but let's say he did. Let's say AEW didn't sign him and he just quit WWE and said, I'm going to do a movie. And I'm known as Dean Ambrose, so, you know, I'll say Dean Ambrose. No. No, you won't. And I think it would have been the same if it was his real name. As long as they had the copyright to it. So, yeah, there's a problem with that. We'll see where that goes. Speaking of which, a lot of people had written and said, you know, Marcus, we listened to the show, and you didn't mention this Money in the Bank ladder match tournament qualifying, whatever. How come there was no Damian Priest? Well, apparently he was injured. And from what I hear, he was injured before WrestleMania. And they almost didn't do that match with Bad Bunny. That's why initially, if you remember, it was supposed to be The Miz versus Bad Bunny one-on-one. Because they weren't sure that his injuries was going to allow him to actually do that match. And I guess when he said, I can do a limited amount, I can do a certain whatever, they said, okay, we're going to change it to the tag team match. And they did. But right after that, and then, of course, after this ridiculous zombie apocalypse match, I guess he took time off for injury. And from what I'm hearing, he could be back as early as Monday. But here's the problem. He's lost a lot of his, unless he comes back with an awful big push, he's lost a lot of his momentum. You brought him up, and then the injuries, you know, tend to sideline your push, and then look what happened to the AOP. This is exactly what happened to AOP. Where are they now? You bring them up, they're starting to get on a roll, they get hurt. One of them gets hurt, recover, they start to try to get on a roll again, they get hurt. So this is very important that Damian Priest be reintroduced correctly and stay healthy. Because if he doesn't, I have this feeling, Mike, that he's going to be back to mid-card city in no time, and that would be a shame.
That would be a shame. And frankly, this whole Archer of Infamy thing, I mean, yeah, it was starting to catch on and all, but I'd rather see him go back to, you know, to punish Martinez type of gimmick. But that's just me, Marcus. And frankly, you know, I wouldn't be, you know, another thing I wouldn't be at all surprised is that at some point, if they make more cuts, that he might be in that series of cuts. Because according to what I'm hearing and reading, there are going to be some more cuts, you know. So
I heard that too, but I heard a lot of them are going to come from NXT UK. Here's the problem with Damian Priest, as far as I can see. If you throw that name at me and you say, I've come up with an idea for a wrestling character, he's going to be called the Archer of Infamy, Damian Priest. Draw a picture of what you think that guy would look like. He'd probably look like a character from out of Assassin's Creed. And he'd be a little bit gothic and dark and a little bit video game-ish. He wouldn't be like this, you know, like a Puerto Rican badass guy. I don't understand. That's the problem. The whole gimmick and the fire when he comes, I don't get it. I just don't get it. You know, what is his gimmick? You put him with Bad Bunny and they were like homies and he looks like a gang member sort of or what, that kind of guy. it doesn't look like a guy whose name is Damian Priest, and it doesn't look like a guy who calls himself the Archer of Infamy. So I think he's like miscast. And you're right. If he went back to Punishment Martinez, I think he'd do well better. Because, again, how many wrestling fans, forget you ever saw Damian Priest, how many wrestling fans have given that name and given that that moniker would draw a character that looks like Damian Priest, this guy? None. Zero. I guarantee you they'd all be gothic, badass-looking, dark, sinister-looking characters Mordecai looking guys or whatever. That's what it would be. It wouldn't be this. He's hopelessly miscast as his character. And he knows it because he's not even trying. Would a Damian Priest, Archer of Infamy, throw fruit or tomatoes? Well, tomato is a fruit. Throw tomatoes at people with the New Day? That doesn't sound right, right? Would Karrion Kross do that? Karrion Kross, let me go throw fruit at people, tomatoes and stuff. That's a problem. Let me go hang out with rappers. That's a problem. We're not buying him as this character because he doesn't look like this character. Punishment Martinez, we'd buy him as. So we'll see what they do with Damian Priest when he comes back. But, Todd, that's the reason, I guess, he's been out for a while is some injuries that he took some time off for.
I've been seeing that on social media with him being injured and everything. That's why he haven't been on TV for a while. Like you said, when he came up to the main roster, they already ruined him. When he first came up, mm-hmm. They ruined him.
Yeah, I agree. And hooking him up with Bad Bunny ruined him too, because again, it just doesn't fit that character's motif or what he would be. KO is also taking some time off. Apparently is why he lost to Sami Zayn and he sold the injuries and everything. He's going to be taking a little time off. And I'm hearing his time off may be extended. I'm hearing he may not even be in SummerSlam. So KO is going to take a little time off. This is a great idea. This I am all for. And I'll tell you why. Kevin Owens, people can say what they want about any other one of these athletes in the WWE. Kevin Owens is the most misused. And here's why. He's great on the mic. He's very creative and comes up with really good ideas. He's very solid in the ring. He can play the heel or the face equally well. And he is just being 100% totally undermined and wasted in ridiculous, pointless feuds. And it's time to reinvent Kevin Owens. It's time to let Kevin Owens go away for a little while and come back as a fresh Kevin Owens that people will say, oh, yeah, Kevin Owens, man, that's right. This is going to be badass. He's back with a new attitude. He's back with a new focus, whatever. I'm not saying reinvent him by throwing him in a mask and a costume. I'm saying reinvent Kevin Owens. Have Kevin Owens come back with a purpose. Have it be the old KO. Whether you want him to be a face or a heel is irrelevant, but let him come back with that same spark that KO had before, because he does not have that spark now. And every time you put him in like these main events, you can just see that there's no life there. You can just see that he's not having fun anymore. Now, you go back and rewind to when he was with Chris Jericho doing the whole list thing and the best buddies thing, and man, were they having fun. And every week, KO had something cool to say, something good to do, big part of the show, and you could see that they were both really enjoying it. I see the opposite now. And I think KO needs a break from this, Mike, because when you can see it on television, you know, if it's translating that powerfully, you need to take a break.
Right. He needs to take a break. And frankly, I guarantee you this. He takes a break, and we're talking about after SummerSlam, until after SummerSlam, which is, what, a month away or whatever it is, and he comes back after SummerSlam. He's going to be fresh. You just got to have something for him to do, right? He's going to be fresh, and people are probably going to end up cheering him.
Yeah, and if they're smart, and this will lead us into the next segment, if they're smart, they'll draft him and get him into another, a new brand so that he's not because he's done here. He's done on SmackDown. There's nothing more to do. Now, talking about the draft, supposedly after SummerSlam, the WWE is going to make a big deal out of this draft. And there's going to be major, major, major changes made to the rosters. This is what I'm hearing. Major changes. Don't believe the rumors that it's not going to be any big deal. WWE has no plan. That's what a lot of people are reporting. WWE has no real major plans. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. I've already heard two names. I'll give you one of them. Drew McIntyre. That's a big name. That's a very big name. I'll give you another one I heard, The Fiend. That separates him from Alexa Bliss. So it's very possible. These are the two big names I'm hearing. And I'm sure there'll be more. And maybe it's for the best, because Raw has grown stale, really, really stale, with who they have up there. And maybe some of these guys, remember, we've all been saying it's not the guy's fault or the women's fault. It's not the workers' fault that they've grown stale. It's the terrible writing. It's the terrible booking that's going on Raw. It's not that Drew McIntyre is stale. It's that he's stale on Raw. That's the problem. It's not that AJ Styles is stale and he's whatever. No, he's stale on Raw. A lot of people are stale on Raw. There's just one or two people that's standing out. And even there, you know, I wouldn't say they're stale, but they could get stale quick. So you gotta be real careful. The people who end up on Raw, however, they could suffer the same fate, because I have no faith in the writers. You bring in a fresh guy. Let's say you bring in a Cesaro and you say, oh, we're going to do this big, you know, thing with Cesaro. Okay, well, he's probably going to get stale. Or Seth Rollins, well, he's probably going to get stale, because I don't see good writing up there. So if I'm in SmackDown, I'm like, please don't send me to Raw. I don't want to be a part of this draft. Now, if you're on Raw, you're probably saying, God, I hope I get drafted to SmackDown. This is a problem you don't want to have. You don't have your workers saying, oh, please don't send me to that one show, and the other ones on that show saying, please, please get me off of this show. But for the most part, I think that's the way it's going to go. So Drew McIntyre will benefit greatly. Will The Fiend benefit? Probably not. Probably not. Now, they're not even sure they're going to bring The Fiend back from what I hear, but well, let's just say Bray Wyatt is going to go over there in whatever incarnation he's going to be. Whether he's going to be Bray Wyatt, the cult leader, or the sweater vest funhouse guy, or The Fiend, or something different. I'm hearing that Bray Wyatt might be one of the guys they're thinking about drafting to Raw. Try to give it a little more showmanship and a little more storyline. We'll see. Bray Wyatt's character in general is dangerously close to becoming irrelevant. And that's a shame, because he's one of the most creative people the WWE has. And you hit a gold mine and you closed it up. I remember watching a television show on collectors who collect action figures, and they went to an expo and they saw The Fiend figure before its release. And they were talking with the guy there, and he was saying, this is the most anticipated action figure ever. Ever. And they didn't even think the initial orders was going to be enough for the demand. That people were going to snatch them up, not one or two, but some collectors were going to get 10 or 12 and try selling them online and everything, because this was the most anticipated figure ever. And it went from that to people barely miss him. Whose fault is that? That's WWE's fault. That's bad writing, that's all. You destroyed that character. Second time you've destroyed Bray Wyatt. Second time he's had great characters and you've destroyed it. So I don't know if just a move to Raw is going to really help, Mike, but I guess it can't hurt.
And it can't hurt, and who knows? I mean, he's come up, well, they got him out of the Husky Harris deal, right? Whatever. He came up with the cult leader. That went well for a while. He came up with the sweater vest guy. They really, of all his characters, other than Husky Harris, which was going nowhere and everybody knew it, the only one they really didn't do anything with was the sweater vest guy. They still could get something out of that guy, out of that character, if they wanted to. And look, you're right. He's just a fountain. Shutting him down is like what they did in the 1970s with the oil wells when they capped all the oil wells out there in Texas. That was still producing oil, but they capped them.
Yep. Basically, they cut him off at the knees. And for what? See, this is the thing I don't understand. Maybe I'm not privy to the way the WWE business operation works, but I'm self-employed and technically I run my own business to a degree. And I understand that if something is popular and it's drawing interest, you don't stop doing it. You don't stop and you don't undermine it either. See, the WWE did both. First, they undermined it. He's losing. He's not that tough. Why would you do that? And before people say, because the WWE is stupid, it's not true. Because they don't do that with Brock Lesnar. They know what they got, and they say, well, he's not going to lose a lot. They didn't do that with The Undertaker. He didn't lose a lot. They don't do that with certain people. So, and if you ask them why are these people always winning, they're going to say, well, we have to further their character. We have to make people understand that these are the toughest of the tough, and they just don't get beat that much. And when they do get beat, it's a big, big deal. And, you know, these are our top guys. Well, then why don't you do it with Fiend? What's your excuse for not doing it with the Fiend? See, you can't have it both ways. You can't say, well, they're just stupid, but they know what to do with certain people. Which leads me to my conspiracy theory that there are just certain people in the WWE that the powers that be, and I'm not talking about just Vince McMahon, may not like. And they just don't want them to succeed. If you're getting over, you're getting over bigger than we thought you would. We don't like that. You're undermining the guys we want over. We don't want the Fiend action figure selling more than this guy. We don't want there to be more sales of this shirt than this guy's, because this is the guy we're promoting. I mean, we're promoting you a little bit, but we don't want that. It's almost like if you go on tour with a band and there's an opening act, and every night on your first five or six concerts, that opening band gets more applause and more cheers and more encores than your leading band. That band's manager is going to say, pull that band. That band's manager is going to say, for the interest of my band, I don't want them opening up for us anymore. They're stealing our thunder. We don't need them on the tour. We'll go get a band that, yeah, they're popular, but they're not going to steal our thunder. We're going to be the main event. We're going to be the ones people come to see. See how that works? So in the WWE, I think they picked their guys, and they've said, these are the guys you don't overshadow. And if you start to overshadow them, we got to knock you down a few pegs. Not because we – and here's the deal. It shouldn't really matter because unlike my analogy, where a band's manager, if they're the headliners, is out for his band and his band only, if that guy managed both bands, what the hell does he care? Who's getting more cheers? That's where my analogy breaks down. Sure, if you know, you're only out for the best interest of your client or whatever, then, yeah, you wouldn't want somebody overshadowing them. But if both of them are your client, I don't get it. If tomorrow, for whatever bizarre reason, R-Truth was selling a bazillion T-shirts and there was a big R-Truth fan club and people were chanting, we want R-Truth, then I'm sorry. R-Truth is getting promoted to the hilt. And if that means he's got to beat Bobby Lashley, if that means he's got to beat up Drew McIntyre, well, I don't give a damn what it means. That's what the fans want. That's what the fans are getting. So I don't get that. But it seems like the powers that be, for some reason, they just don't want Bray Wyatt to take off, Mike.
I guess not. And to tell you the truth, think about this. You know, I guarantee you that, you know, you look at Bray Wyatt and you take him out of the WWE is going to be infinitely worse without him, and you put him in, I don't know, TNA or hell, AEW. AEW is going to be infinitely better with somebody like a Bray Wyatt, you know, Lawrence Michael Rotunda, whatever you want to call him, in the other company, because it just will, because he's that creative, he's that good, you know.
It's interesting you mentioned that, because Matt Hardy had come out with during an interview, he came out with a story saying, when we were a tag team, we had come up with this fantastic story line about how Bray Wyatt, since his Randy Orton had burnt down the shack and everything, that Bray Wyatt was virtually homeless. And he was going to go live on the compound, the Hardy compound, and we were going to shoot all these vignettes of really weird and bizarre stuff that was going to lead to this rebirth of Bray Wyatt and in a different form, and not necessarily even as a face. Maybe it's going to break up the team and cause Wyatt to possibly be in control of the compound and all kinds of things. He said we had written this elaborate thing, and the WWE is like, we're not doing any of that. So there you go. There you go. But for some people, they'll do everything. So this is the problem. We also want to touch on something else. On social media, I belong to a lot of different wrestling groups, so I can judge what fans are thinking and also indie wrestlers are thinking. And a question was posed on one of these groups. What do you think will help pro wrestling get back to its glory days? What do you think needs to change in pro wrestling? For pro wrestling to, you know, get to the next chapter. And do you know that some fans actually said it's got to be treated more like a sport and less like a soap opera? And I wrote as a response, that's absurd. That's an absurd statement. That's what's killing professional wrestling. It's not a sport. Get that out of your head. It is a soap opera. You may be athletes who are participating in it, but it's not a sport because there's nothing to win. There's nothing to legitimately win. Your only goal is to entertain the crowd. And that means they have to care about who wins and loses. And the only reason they're going to care about who wins and loses is if you flesh out these characters, make them larger than life, give us storylines that really matter so that we as fans say, I really want this guy to win or I really want this guy to lose. I don't want to come to a day with pro wrestling where it's like, here is Mike Brown against Joe Smith. Shake hands, and they both shake hands and say, thank you, ref, and they have a 25-minute wrestling clinic match that's rigged. What's the point? Then just stop rigging it then. Just stop having it predetermined and just go to a sport of wrestling where you just say, okay, we're just going to wrestle. And you're going to have no fans. Because that's how wrestling started out, and it was so boring no one went. Because when you get a guy in a headlock, he can't get out. So you're on the mat for 4 minutes, 5 minutes, struggling to get out of a headlock, and people are like, well, this is just boring. You think you're going to see all these high-flying moves and shit? You're not going to see any of that. Because they don't work, really. So they only work if it's rigged. It's only worked if it's predetermined. And when it's predetermined, it can never be a sport. So I don't know why fans want this to be more sports-based. Exactly the opposite has to take place. And I'm not saying Once again, I'm not saying wrestling plumbers and wrestling school teachers and wrestling drill instructors. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you have to flesh out these characters. Why even have good guys and bad guys then? Why even have them? Just have two guys. This is going to be the death of professional wrestling. And unfortunately, there's a vocal minority of fans and even workers. Because, see, these workers, I make more enemies this way, but I have to say it. A lot of these workers in the indie business, they are so desperate to be thought of as a real sports athlete that they're just like, no, I just want it to be like a sport. Well, then go join a real sport. You're not in a sport. You're not in a sport. It's like a movie actor saying, no, I want this to be like a real boxing match. Well, then Sylvester Stallone's not winning. Then Dolph Lundgren's going to knock his head off his shoulders. You don't want that. Triple H was right when he said, even though he never really does it, he's right when he said professional wrestling's like a Rocky movie. That's exactly what it's like. Well, you say there's no real way for the good guy to win. He's got to overcome all this whatever, but he does it. And you've got fans saying, I would rather just see it like it was a real sport. No, you wouldn't. Mike, this is the poison that's killing professional wrestling, and some of these people are offering up cups like they're Jim Jones down in Guyana.
Right, and that's the thing. You look at it, you look at some of these other promotions. You know, you look at all the promotions. Now, granted, we know what Ring of Honor is, right? Ring of Honor is they have the Code of Honor and all that stuff, and they come out, and generally, it's still the entertainment thing because you can, I've seen it happen where they refuse to shake, one of them refuses to shake the other one's hand, apply the Code of Honor. Okay, we get that. But that's still more entertainment than what a lot of the younger fans want, you know, and a lot of the wrestlers have been, it's like being programmed for this stuff, right? You're programmed to say, well, I want it to be a real sport or we've talked about the story about how it became so big in the 90s when Vince McMahon decided to say, well, this is just entertainment, and he pulled the curtain back. That's when the growth began.
You're right.
Right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And to add to that, what you got to understand is, okay, we understand that they want to be considered athletes. I've never said they weren't. And they want to be respected as athletes. I've never said they weren't. And they deserve the ultimate respect as athletes. But you're not in a sport. You're not in a sport. Go do MMA if that's what you want to do. Take your ass to MMA. But what we need is compelling characters, compelling storylines, reasons that we want someone to win and lose. Simple as that. It's as simple as that. And unfortunately, there are some fans who are convinced, like Mike said, it's almost like they're brainwashed. No, we want it to be a real sport. No, you don't. Stop it. You are the same fans who were saying, oh, we love Matt Hardy's character. Is that a real sport? Does that make wrestling look like a real sport to you? We love Matt Hardy's woke character. Okay, well, that's not a real sport. That's entertainment. So you can't have it both ways. You can't say with one corner of your mouth, I want it to be a real sport, and with the other one, I love the Matt Hardy thing. No, you'd hate that. Let me say this. As much as I criticize some of the things they did in Lucha Underground when they went to, like, the disappearing, where the girl could disappear from the ring and things, which is, ridiculous, and the same thing I'm criticizing about WWE with Alexa Bliss, I would rather watch Lucha Underground than watch a couple of guys just have a wrestling match, because that's going to be boring. At least Lucha Underground wasn't boring. At least Lucha Underground, you were like, okay, it's over the top, but it's exciting. It's fun. That's what wrestling's supposed to be. It's supposed to be fun. If it's not fun, then I just don't understand. Because, again, there's nothing to win Your goal is to entertain the audience. So you got to make it fun. By the way, Sonya Deville has shot down rumors that she's returning to the ring, saying she has no plans to do so. And Shayna Baszler and Alexa Bliss has both said that they are enjoying this angle that they're playing out on television. And even if fans think it's stupid, Shayna Baszler actually went up about 9 notches in my eyes. And I like Shayna Baszler, so that's saying a lot. Because Shayna Baszler tweeted something very smart. Alexa Bliss just said, no matter what you say, I'm having fun. Okay, that's good. Good for you. But Shayna Baszler said something very smart. She said, wrestling has a wide variety of different styles to it. And not everything that happens you're going to like. Maybe some people don't like lucha stuff. Maybe some people don't like the violent, hardcore stuff. Maybe some people don't like the more scientific stuff. Maybe some people don't like the high flying or whatever. So she said, if this particular angle isn't for you, I get it. I get it. But she said, here's what you also have to understand. I need a chance to show I can do more than just play this bullyish badass. I need a chance as a performer. See what she used there? Performer. I need a chance as a performer to show I can do different things other than just being this bully badass. I can do comedy. I can do this thing where I'm scared and frightened of Alexa Bliss and the things she's doing. I can do a lot of things because the more I show I can do as a performer, the more valuable I become to my company. Mike, it was beautifully said, and I was very proud of her.
I'm proud of her, too. And look, I mean, I'd even have said the same thing about if somebody like Nick Cross was saying this. Because think about this. That whole gimmick that Nick Cross is doing, it's sort of a comedy gimmick, right?
Yeah, I would say.
Whereas her previous two gimmicks, yeah, they weren't. Well, the previous one where she was trying to get her friend back, you know, was a serious gimmick. But the other one was the maniacal, you didn't know where she was going to be, you know, thing, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah.
When he was with Sanity and all that stuff, you know. So she could play just about anything. If she would have said the same thing, that I would have bought it from her, too. You know?
No question. Well, she did say she came up with that angle, so she's happy doing it. Todd, just as a test, which would you rather watch? A federation where two guys just come out in plain trunks and shake hands and wrestle for 20 minutes, or something like Lucha Underground, which is a little over the top, but fun?
I would rather watch entertainment than pro wrestling. The entertainment value.
Yeah, I agree with you. I would, too. If you have to give me the choice and say, well, it's either going to be over the top or completely run like it's a real sport, give me over the top, because that's why I like wrestling. I like wrestling because it's over the top. That's the whole point. If it's just two guys really pretending to wrestle Greco-Roman style, no feuds, no characterization, no nothing, and, oh, look, they're great wrestlers, well, then why don't they just watch real wrestling where we don't know who's going to win? I'll just go watch the Olympics. So, no, I'm sorry. I want the over-the-top. No, I don't want it to go back again to wrestling plumbers and wrestling lawyers and IRSs and things like that. But, yes, you can have characters. Anyway, good for Shayna Baszler. Shayna Baszler gets my cheer of the week for her answer. I just thought it was brilliant, and I was really happy to hear that somebody understands pro wrestling. Maybe she'll get a little better lot in life now. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.